gonna say a word about the gospel reading this morning. You know, the temptation for many of the Jewish Christians, that is those Jews who accepted Jesus as Messiah, was to hang on to their Jewishness and their Jewish way of life. And they could quote the Old Testament. They could look at the whole history of the Old Covenant and point out how God had chosen for himself a special people, the Jews, the Hebrews, and how it would be through them that salvation would come to the world. And God had spoken to them. He had revealed himself to them through the prophets. And that it was a revelation, a special revelation that the whole world was to know through the Jews. A revelation that would come to the world in no other way. So they had many reasons why they might want to hang on to that Jewishness. And that proved to be one of the biggest contentions in the Christian church in those first centuries. We read in the book of Acts how there were some who followed St. Paul around, and they went up into Antioch, and they said, unless you're circumcised and obey the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. It was fine. Jesus was fine as long as he was incorporated into their understanding of things. And of course, we know that the First Ecumenical Council, it was the first Jewish council, the Council of Jerusalem. In that Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, we read how Paul stood up with Barnabas, and then Peter also stood up and said, but brothers, talking to the Jewish brother Christians, brothers and sisters, the Lord has made it clear that that special dispensation that we had as Jews has to give way to the Messiah. There's a new covenant that's established. Christ. And it's no longer necessary to be Jews. What counts is to be a follower of Christ. Well, I think we also have to be careful that we don't try to domesticate Christ and make him fit into our lives in a convenient way. God give us grace. Christ means so much to us that we give up the old and we let him be Lord and King of our lives. Anyway, we are celebrating today St. Roman, the melodist. And boy, my little grandson isn't here. It's his name's day. But we remember St. Roman, the melodist, who is very popular in the Orthodox Church because of the Kantakion that he rather invented. Started out where Roman, he was a Jew, so it fits in what we're reading there in the scriptures. He was brought up in a Jewish home and family. We don't know if his parents became converts to Christianity. They probably did, because Roman, at a very early age, showed his love for Christ. And in the church, he was very devout. He wanted to help with lighting the candles and all that. He was just a young man who showed a very pious kind of heart. Well, he was made a chanter and reader, and he was one who was so humble. That is the thing that distinguished St. Roman. A humble and godly young man. And I think he was made a deacon when he was in Beirut. And then he was called up into Constantinople. And he was commissioned to be a chanter there, chanter and reader. He didn't chant very well. I mean, he chanted well in the sense that, you know, he really expressed a spirit of love and devotion. He expressed a spirit of glory to God. But the other chanters were more gifted. They had more angelic voices. And the other deacons and readers and chanters, they were more educated. They were better educated in their theology and all. And they didn't like it that the patriarch gave Roman the same pay. I didn't realize that they got paid, but they did. I guess they got paid. He got the same pay and the same recognition that the others did, the other deacons and readers and chanters. They derided him, they resented him for his lack of musical and theological training. And Roman didn't, you know, he didn't argue. He said, "No, you're right." He was so humble. He was painfully aware of these defects. He longed for a melodious voice that would really be worthy of leading the faithful in praising God. And then on the feast of the Holy Nativity, on the day before that feast, St. Roman was assigned to be the one to lead the congregation in singing at the all-night vigil. And it's interesting, he was not only in charge of leading the congregation singing, he was also in charge of composing the hymn. And, well, after the vigil, he he remained in the church there, and he entreated the Mother of God with tears to help him. And exhausted, he fell asleep in sorrow. And in answer to his prayer, the Mother of God appeared to him in a dream, and she handed him a scroll. And she said to him gently, "Here, eat this." Well, Roman ate the scroll, and he woke up, and he was filled with joy. And he sensed the presence of the Theotokos. And then when it came time for him to sing, he received the patriarch's blessing. He vested in a special garment for the principal singer, and he stepped up and he began to sing. "Today the Virgin gives birth to him who is above all being." And he sings so beautifully. The emperor, the patriarch, and the clergy, the entire congregation listened in wonder, not only at his beautiful voice, but at the profound theology which he composed in that cantakion, in that song. And then it says that they all joined in the refrain, "A newborn babe, the pre-eternal God." And later, St. Roman told the patriarch about his vision. And then those singers, those others who had made fun of him and derided him, they prostrated themselves in repentance and humbly asked for Roman's forgiveness. So that's the story of Roman, St. Roman, the Melanist. But well, he lived from about 490 to 556. I forgot to tell you that. And he went on, you know, he was a very young man then yet. And so he had many years left in his life in which he composed. It is said in the same article, if anyone can help me on this, but it says here that he wrote as many as 1,000 quintakia, celebrating feasts and saints throughout the liturgical year. And then the last paragraph, the same article, says, Roman is said to have composed more than 8,000 similar hymns or quintakia, celebrating the feasts of the ecclesiastical year and the lives of the saints and other sacred subjects. My guess is that the 1,000 refers to strict quintakia, and that the other 7,000 that make up for the 8,000 were different kinds of hymns. But he's such a gifted man. And we acknowledge him today. You know, when we come to the part in our Orthros, Orthros, the Matin service, we have the Kantakion. But it's a short thing. It's very short. It kind of introduces the canon for the day, but the Kantakion is not very long anymore in our worship, whereas it used to be that the Kantakion, a full Kantakion, in the 6th century, was a poetic sermon composed from 18 to 30 verses, each with a refrain, and united by an acrostic. So anyway, we shorten them a lot, so they fit a little better. So that's St. Roman, the Melodist, and I must say that I'm proud to have a grandson named after him, and I trust that he will do his best to live up to this saintly man. I want to close with a word that this Professor Krumbacher, who is some kind of a specialist, I think he's German, that's all right, nothing wrong with German. This Professor Krumbacher was so impressed with St. Roman, the Melodist. This is what he said. In poetic talent, fire of inspiration, depth of feeling, and elevation of language, St. Roman, the Melodist, far surpasses all the other Melodists. The literary history of the future will perhaps acclaim St. Roman to be the greatest ecclesiastical poet of all time. So it's appropriate that we honor him today. And may the Lord hear his prayers for us as we Father, and the Son.